Hello again, I'm Drew Wilder. It is Your Business. Every weekend at this exact time, we talk to you, we talk about business, and we talk with Stan Sadlak, sponsored by Steeplechase Advisors, helping businesses just like yours for many, many years, helping with taxes, insurance, real estate, asset protection, business succession, even personnel problems. And I tell you, some of these topics that we've done, I mean, people are calling Stan, but you better call Stan. Stan, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Drew. Hey, you know, I want to answer that question you asked me about. So Drew loves to go out to eat seafood.
Yeah.
And he recently went out and he asked me, he said, hey, you know, you know a lot about restaurants and you do a lot of business advising. So how do you know if a fish has gone bad? I mean, I don't want to get salmonella.
That's good. And that's why I don't order like mussels. I did get food poisoning once on that. So how do you know?
Well, first of all, fish has no odor whatsoever. So a good fish that is cleaned properly and cooked has no odor whatsoever.
Okay.
If it has some odor, it doesn't smell odorless, it's bad.
Interesting. I never thought about that. Never
it's
knew
bad.
That.
Same thing. If you have a mussel or you have a clam and it does not open up,
right, that's
not
a bad sign.
It.
You don't eat it. Heard that. And we're talking about time management today. And I guess that does relate to what you're saying, because the longer you wait, the worse it could get for food poisoning. But I mean, time management is such an essential ingredient in life in general, but especially running a business with. I mean, we've talked about all the chaos in the world and all the things that go on and all the things a business has to deal with. We did a whole show on regulations, done show on labor issues. And do you think time management now is even more important because of everything that happens with a business has to face than ever before?
Well, you know, time management is a goal. It's like, you know, it's not a perfect world. So, for example, how long does it take for the Earth to rotate?
It takes, I should know this, right? It would take 6 months.
No, for the Earth to rotate.
For the Earth to rotate.
Once per day, 24 hours.
Oh, okay, 24
correct?
Hours, right.
No.
No.
It actually is 23 hours and 56 minutes. So there's a fudge factor of 4 minutes.
Is that why we have like leap year?
Well, that's a different issue. That is correct. So every 4 years, because of the time differential, they have to eliminate a day to bring it back up to speed.
So if we didn't do that, what would happen? We'd all go crazy. No.
Well, we have. You know,
maybe people didn't put the clocks back.
We're in the age of insanity.
Yeah, it is the age of insanity.
You know, it's like today. You know, today they make up words or they make up things that never occurred,
right?
And treat it as gospel,
right? They say it over and over, so you think it's common.
I don't care which party it is; they're all the same,
right?
You know, you could come out and say Mitch McConnell is married to a woman of whose Chinese family owns all the shipping in China.
Right.
So he's guilty of treason.
Right.
And if you said it convincingly.
And enough times. Well, that's
they're going to believe it. And then they're going to arrest him for treason.
And that's kind of like what radio advertising is. I mean, you hear it over and over and over. But eventually, you just believe it. The more times you hear it, it's got to be true. It's got to be credible and real. But, thinking about time management, running a business, is that a problem or should we just bag the show with time management and move on to something? I mean, is that really something that...
I think time management is absolutely critical.
So you do think that's important?
Yeah. I'm kind of saying, well, there's a little fudge factor in there. I mean, there's certain people that like to be very prompt to an appointment. There's some people that like to be very early, but I don't know anybody in this room that's like that, of course.
Right, yeah, of course not. Right.
Yeah.
And Drew, there's some people that like to be late, right?
You'll have an appointment with Drew and he'll show up an hour early. He doesn't want to be late.
I always show up early, right.
So and then there's people that are notoriously late.
And is that a psychological thing with people that show up? I used to have a client, and he would always show up 20 minutes late, and I asked him just nicely, and it's interesting, you're always like 15, 20 minutes late. I'm just wondering, I know you're real busy. And he says, nah, you know what? And he kind of alluded to the fact that people thought he was like more important than he was because they had to wait for him. I said, well, how about if they don't wait? He says, well, that's another story.
Well, that's an interesting concept. So he does it purposely.
He did it purposely.
I know people very well who are oblivious to time. I call them surfer boys. You know, they, oh, yeah, let's, hey, you want to go to the meeting?
Right.
You know, it's like, you know, ready to go to church. I'm in the car beeping the horn,
right,
waiting for rest of the people to get on board. Let's go.
So you think more people are early, on time, or late? I think in a business, they'd have to be on time or early.
Well,
right?
I'm glad you qualified it that way. So I'm going to use myself as an example. Yeah. I live in 15-minute increments.
Huh.
I write down everything that I have to do. If I don't write it down, I will not remember to do it. And then I will go through and I will check it off. But during my schedule, during the day, I will have a plan of action.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually print off the calendar for that day, and then I fill it in handwriting. I mean, I've got it on the computer, but this changes.
Right.
So I'll write things in that I might want to squeeze in. And then the other side, I keep a running list of everything I've got to do.
It's more tangible that way. That's why I write everything down, too.
And I have to. So, you know, the best laid plans of mice and men always get, you know, postponed. So every once in a while, I have to have a leap day, you know, where I get to skip nothing.
Yeah.
But I typically work 6 days a week. So it's good to, you know, try to get a break along the way. And I think that in today's society, a business person must be organized. You will not survive if you are not organized. Now, look, I was not born organized, but in order to survive in business, you have to be organized.
So it's not something people are born with? How do you become organized?
Well, you know, you got to develop it. You got to say, I want to be organized.
Or learn the hard way, like bad things would happen if you're
absolutely
not organized. Right. Then you say, the biggest cause of insanity is making the same mistake over and over,
right?
And expecting a different result.
You know, when you look at kids, you can usually see the kids that are doing pretty well in school are pretty organized, and the kids who aren't doing very well in school are not organized, or they wait till the last minute to do something,
right?
And that's just a recipe for disaster. So, as a business person, you not only have to organize yourself, but you've got to organize your whole staff.
Right.
You know, you got to organize all your employees, or you got to make sure there's the proper supervision to oversee what they are doing.
Yeah, it's not just yourself. You're dealing with people
in
the business.
Right, so organizational management is very, very critical to time management.
So it's not something you're born with. You think you just learn the school of hard knocks.
That's the school of hard knocks, no question about it. You know, the more failures that you have, the better you become at planning.
Right.
So typical business, you have four critical ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
Ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
One is you got to be able to plan.
Yep.
You got to secondly be able to organize that plan.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have to be able to lead that plan and, you know, to oversee, supervise it, if you will, but lead. And the last one, you've got to control the flow. So I call it plan, organize, lead, and control.
Huh.
So you just got the MBA from the Harvard School of Business.
Interesting. That's, you would tell a business that in your coaching.
Those are the four things you must learn to do. You got to learn to plan. You got to learn to organize that plan. You got to figure a way to lead it or manage it. And then you've got to control that flow. So we always use an example of a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And people say, well, why do you use a restaurant? I said, there is absolutely no difference between running a restaurant and running a manufacturing firm. You have to get the orders.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you get the orders? You then have to say, okay, how am I going to cook these French fries? How am I going to cook this shrimp? How am I going to cook this steak? You know, what are the utensils? What are the items I use, the machinery, if you will, or the equipment? And then you've got to have somebody on your line knowing what they're doing.
And have so you got to have the systems. Otherwise, you have a backlog.
Yeah,
you got to end up with too many items.
Too many cooks in the kitchen, and you got to be able to control it. So You need to, you know, you usually have like a food expediter. Yeah. You know, he'll, when the food's up, you know, he'll bring it out.
Right.
But you got to control the flow of everything in the kitchen. How do they call out the orders? How do they read it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you got a, if you're working on a table with four people, how do you make it so they all come out at the same time?
Right. And now with labor problems, it's more of a challenge. You got fewer people with same amount of customers or even more customers. People are eating out a lot now.
Right. So, you know, on my trip out to the Midwest, so I stayed one night at a particular hotel, very well-named motel. I won't say what it was. I'll be nice today.
They didn't leave the light on for you?
No, anyway, probably wasn't that. We, you know, got there late. It was a 10-hour drive. And decided, well, we'll eat at the hotel.
Yeah.
And it seemed very nice. And I'd had great luck staying at this particular hotel in Burlington, Vermont. So I said, this would be good. And I went down there. I had the worst meal I have ever had in my entire life. And I said to the waitress, I said, who's cooking? And she said, oh, he's great. He's been a line cook for, you know, 16 years. And I'm looking at this and I said, well, you know, hamburger's okay. The wings were okay, but any of the pasta, any of the, you know, other items, non-grill,
right,
if you will, was awful.
Really?
And then, you know, the waitress, she was clueless, you know, and it was really pretty bad.
And so you won't go back there next time you're in Burlington.
Well, you know, the irony of it, so, you know, I check out the next day, and I said, listen, and the kitchen manager happened to be at the front desk. Yeah. And I said, listen, I got to tell you, last night was one of the worst meals I ever ate in my life. And I've had quite a bit of restaurant experience. Mm-hmm. And I went through all the specifics. So it indicated to her that I knew what I was talking about.
Right.
And I just said, look, you know, you really need to address these issues. Your chef there may be a good line cook, you know, where you can do the grill and the fryer later, but he sure as heck doesn't know how to cook anything else.
And I wonder what she did with your advice and information.
Nothing. She walked away.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't want to hear about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I could, you know, send a nasty note to corporate, but I, you know, it's like I called AAA because, you know, I didn't get a return phone call within the 6 hours. So I called again. I said, you know, I could have been sitting by the highway, you know, for 6 hours waiting to get picked up.
Right.
I couldn't get beyond a voicemail.
Wow.
Just couldn't get beyond a voicemail.
Probably the better the business does, the less they're going to listen because complacency.
I went to a tire store and there was one guy working there and I said, well, where is everybody? There ain't nobody else. They all retired or quit. I'm the only one left.
That's
I'm
the
not
big
the
problem,
owner here,
right?
But I stick by it.
Yeah, that's the major problem. And again, we're talking to Stan Sadlak, sponsored by Steeplechase Advisors, Stan business coach for many, many years, taxes, insurance, real estate, business succession, even personnel problems. And, I tell you, with all the problems with service and things coming at you from every direction, which we talk about on so many of our shows, you better call Stan, and we'll tell you how you can do just that in a few minutes right here on It's Your Business. So what's the solution? So if somebody
even I get snookered.
Yeah.
Let me tell you a
even
good
you?
One. Yeah, I get snookered. Okay. So, you know, here's a good one for you, Drew. So, you know, yesterday the air conditioning in our house wasn't working. So we called the air conditioning people, and they were really nice. They sent somebody out right away, and he said, oh, your fan motor is dead. I said, oh, okay. So he said, here, I'll put a new one in. So he puts it, and I authorized him to do it. So he put it in. That one shorted out immediately. He said, well, I don't have any more. And so I said, okay, well, he said, we'll come back tomorrow. I said, that, you know, that's fine. I'm pretty easy. Yeah. So he comes back today. And the whole time yesterday when he was working, he was on the phone with his boss the entire hour and a half.
Huh. What were they talking about?
Trying to figure out what's going on.
Wasn't the why the Mets keep losing. But
well, so he comes back today. Really nice guy. Very young.
Okay.
Again, he's on the phone the whole time. And I asked him, how long is this going to take? I got to go to work. He said, well, I don't know. Okay, was just so I canceled out some of my appointments because I wanted to stick around and see what was going on. So he puts in the new motor, you know, fires right up, and then it's not working. So he says, it doesn't work anymore. You need a new compressor. So it's not generating any cold air. It froze up.
Mm-hmm.
I said, it froze up. I said, usually it's because there's no liquid coming. I said, we just had these fully serviced a month ago.
Right.
Anyway, so he says, okay, there's nothing more I can do. We'll have to get your quotes. I said, okay. So I said, listen, take the new motor out and put the old motor back in.
Right.
I don't want it.
Right, right.
And because I know they want to sell me a whole new unit.
Exactly. Okay. That's where they make their profit.
But little do they know, I own a lot of commercial real estate, so I know a little something about HVAC. But I was nice, very nice. And I said, okay. And I'm going to hear from them about what it's going to cost to put a new unit in. But I've got a couple friends in the business, and I'm going to I want to know if these people know what they're doing.
Right.
But he, was on his phone with the boss the entire 2 hours this morning. Then he gets in his truck, and he's on the phone again for another half hour. And, my opinion is that they just want to sell me a new unit. Now, I could be wrong.
Probably.
And I'll get all the details. But I know quite a bit about the subject. But can you imagine the people that don't know anything?
Right. Most people don't. I would not know.
And the prices they get quoted or whether they really need it or don't need it.
30%, 40%, 50% higher than it was 4 years ago. And,
right.
And talk about time management. I mean, the amount of time you have, that's where I get really frustrated. I mean, I had a back door to the deck put in. Now, I've got problems. It has a rattling noise, doesn't fully close. So it called them, took them five days to get back to me. And it's like, and now I got to wait there, or my wife has to wait there for them to show up. So it's juggling more time.
Well, it's even what's just as bad is, so they were supposed to be here at my house this morning at 7:30. Well, at 9 o'clock, they're not there. I've got a meeting at 11. My wife's got a doctor's appointment. So I called them up and I said, well, look, can we do it tomorrow?
Hmm.
Well, if we do that, we won't be able to get there for another week and a half to 2 weeks.
So what do you do?
I said, okay, send them over.
Yeah.
So there was no regard for my time management.
Right, no one cares.
They don't understand how much I bill per hour, nor do they care.
Right.
And they, it this is just symptomatic of everything we do today.
Yeah. A lot of people are just oblivious of people's time when they're doing stuff. I mean, that's par for the course. I think it's more common than not. Then when you have someone coming over to do service, it's going to take longer.
So when you do time management, I think when you look at your customers, they actually appreciate you being prompt.
Right.
They appreciate you doing what you say you're going
good
to do.
Good service stands out even more than it ever did.
Right.
Because there's so much bad service and so many businesses that don't have a human being answering the phone. I mean, that gets me frustrated. So,
when I travel, I don't take my cell phone.
Wow.
And I can't, because people get so used, instead of calling my office or one of my associates or my voicemail, they call me on my cell phone. And so when you try to get some relaxation, you can't. But, if they called the office and if it were urgent, my office knows how to get a hold of me.
Okay, then they know.
Because I got a personal cell
phone. That's good you can do that, because to me it's like an addiction, the cell phone.
You have to do it. You must draw a line. For example, I don't have a computer at home, and I can't because I'm a workaholic.
Right.
So if I don't have that separation, I life will not be good for me.
Maybe I should throw mine out the window. 3:30 in the morning, it's like,
I work to do. 20 years ago, I did that. It was back when they, had the phones with all the keypads on them.
Yep.
And I just, I was at a Boy Scout camp as a leader, and my phone would not stop ringing, and they were stupid things. And I just said, I took my cell phone and I threw it as far as I could. I just had it. And so finally I walk over there and I pick it up and it's still working.
Ah.
It didn't break. It was a Palm Pilot, I think they called it, or whatever.
Remember those?
Oh my gosh.
But talking about time management, a big, big time saver. And I'm not sure, I know Gmail does it, but maybe not every Gmail system is putting emails on timers. So the only problem, I put a lot of my emails on timers, like 3:30 in the morning, I'm putting 7 emails on timers for later in the day. I don't want to send them at 3:30 either, because I don't want people to think, My God, what's wrong with Drew? He's up at 3:30 in the morning sending business emails. It's like, even though I'm doing
that. Yeah, you do that. I know. I see that. You know, my son gets, not only will have if calls go to his cell phone, he'll actually be able to see all the calls that come into the company.
Oh.
So he can see who's coming in when nobody's around.
Wow.
And he, I mean, it's just incredible what he's capable of doing.
So you really can't escape today. I mean, well, I can't. Because you put your cell phone, when you leave, you put it away. But
you have to. I mean, you go on vacation and you call people. I yell at you all the time about that.
I am addicted to it. Well, because I figured the day I come back will be bedlam. I'll never get out the door to see a client for like three or four days.
They don't care about you.
Yeah, they really don't.
At the end of the day.
Well, my wife says that. Yeah, your tombstone will not say, you were the number one salesperson in the history of... That's not going to be on your tombstone. Right.
And the clients get agitated. Yeah. You know, that happens all the time because you're not responding quick enough.
Right.
And the older they get, the more agitated they become.
That's probably true, right? Because you've been through a lot more and you put up with a lot less because of that.
Right.
Yeah. So your solution would be, so you would tell businesses that you coach, and it would save a lot of time and aggravation and stress, and people probably would live longer that are being consulted and coached by you, is to put your cell phone away at certain times.
Absolutely. You have to. You must draw a line. You know, it's like, you know, you have a time to go to sleep, a time to get up. Yeah. Everybody likes routines,
right.
But you need a routine for yourself. And, you know, that is very hard to do. You know, I would love to be able to only work 10 hours a day. That really is a dream of mine.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
But I can't do it.
Right.
I mean,
right.
I get carried away. So, I end up not getting home till 8 o'clock at night. And then I eat dinner. And, you know, that's just not good.
No,
and
right.
I try to break that. But I got so much work to do. I can't find people to do the work.
Right, so you do twice as much, three times.
I've got to do it. So, yeah. I mean, and that's that dilemma is what every business person faces today. You're not going to get around it today. We're in such a weird period that if you don't want to play this game, get out.
Right, right.
If you want to be in business, you want a restaurant, you better be prepared to work 12 hours a day.
Right, you can't find people. Like you said, most people do have a routine, and I think a routine does lead to success. So it's hard to break away from that routine.
Yeah. So the one thing I do say, you know, I'm going to refer to that for a second.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got your fellow much younger than you who retired and moved to Florida,
mm-hmm.
getting big bucks retirement from the state of Connecticut.
Right. Exactly.
Whereas
my neighbor. Right.
All small businesses have we have no retirement plans.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
We keep working till
exactly.
we die.
Right.
Okay. And so, and a lot of people retire because they have pension plans, which no longer exist.
Yeah, exactly.
Or they have big 401k plans that have grown over the last 20 years by this biggest bull market in history
of
man.
Unbelievable.
So one of these days, that bull market will get stabbed.
Right.
And the bull will fall down.
And then what's
and it will
happen?
Tumble over. It might maul a couple of people or gore a couple of people along the way, but it will occur. Then what's going to happen is, will the states be able to continually fund these pension plans?
Right, they have no money. They have no money now.
Right.
And we talked about, you know, civil war with chaos in the world and turmoil. I wonder if that, because the day will happen when the bubble bursts, will that precipitate more chaos?
Well, you know, it's funny you say that because what I have on my drive, I can drive for 10 hours and not even turn on the radio. I'm just thinking. I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
but
that hurts.
You know, when I get out into the Midwest, I don't know the radio stations,
right.
So I, you know, sometimes I'll listen, but I like to think.
Yeah.
And what I've been trying to figure out is what will be the trigger that creates the stock market to deflate.
Right.
What's the trigger?
Because I would have thought it would happen this year, but it hasn't happened.
But you know, it's going to be a trigger
climate.
That none of us expect.
Right, that's usually the way it works.
Remember back in, I think it was, 87 or something like that, when the Washington Power, bonds collapsed.
Yep.
And that caused the market to crash.
Yeah.
Then in 2008, the mortgages, it made the market crash.
Right. It's always something you don't know is going to happen.
And that's what I keep trying to figure out. What is it out there?
But it always bounces back, the market. So will the time happen where it doesn't bounce back?
Oh, well, you know, it will bounce back, but it might take 30 years.
Right. So if you're 55, 65 years old, you don't have that kind of time.
So the Great Depression occurred in 1929. That's 90 years ago.
Right.
And then the market really did nothing till probably the year 2000.
Right.
And then in the last 23 years, it's gone from 7,500 up to, actually it's 5,000 up to 35,000.
Right.
Well, the same thing happened to Japan. It went up to 36,000 and then dropped down to 16,000.
Collapsed. Yeah. So, hey, yeah. So you better call Stan, right? I mean, whatever goes up comes down.
Right. And our job is to protect your assets. I mean, for example, putting money into a savings account or a checking account right now probably doesn't sound too glamorous. Right. But you know, that might be the safest place to put the money.
Yeah, where you're going to get 4.9% or over a little over 5% by going into like a 6-month CD.
Right, but everybody gets greedy, and that's what's happened today. They've had such a good bull market that they get greedy.
Right, everyone always wants more, and
might be better off to go and get a hair replacement for $7,000.
That's a hair raising experience, but. I mean, so you help coach businesses. You've been doing it for many years, taxes, real estate, insurance, business succession, even personnel problems. And I mean, how do someone get in touch with you? And is there a cost to what you'll help a business with?
Well, the best way to reach me is call me at 860-524-3408 or email me stan@stsworld.net or check out our website. It's steeplechaseamerica.com. So
there's no charge for the first consultation, right? There's no fee or anything?
We have to, we'll chat and see. I ask a lot of questions.
Right.
Because
right,
I have to see if I can help you or if I can't. Mm-hmm. Everybody has certain expertise. So, for example, I may be a good batting coach, but I might not be a good pitching coach.
Right.
So I have to see what makes sense, or I have somebody else in my staff who might be better off at doing things. Mm-hmm. Tax planning is a big area that we have to focus on, and also asset protection.
Right.
Very, very important thing to do. I'll tell you what's got my interest these days suddenly is commercial real estate.
Ah,
it's going through a bad time. It's going to go through a worse time, and there could really be some interesting opportunities out there. Residential, forget it. That's off the wall. That's
another
opportunity.
Whole
was
other area.
15 years ago.
Stan Sadlak, 860-524-3408, 860-524-3408. Business coach, no fee consultation. Better call Stan with everything coming at you. I'm Drew Wilder. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you this time every weekend at this time. Thanks for listening. You better take care of business.